hungry people, hungry people. Yeah, listen, I jotted something down. And I said this Wednesday or Saturday, and it really hit me when I was preaching, and I've been thinking about it from that moment on, about how that I was created in an appointed time. Like I was sent in appointed time. I was created in Him from the beginning. But I'm here in an appointed time that I would find Him. That I would find Him in the moment of my life. And I began to think about that I'm created for what? To meet with Him. And I felt that God says, I created you to meet with me. I created you to meet with me. And I, as I was thinking, I don't know, some of you might have heard the story, but some of you might not have. But my brother was sharing, he was praying that it's sometimes in those rough moments. I might share this Saturday, but it's in the moments that two things are revealed. What's wrong and what's right. Your weaknesses and your strengths. And we do it what we need to. I feel like this is the year that in the midst of everything we go through, one thing or another will be revealed. And I want God to be revealed. Come on, amen. I want God to flood me. Every weakness, every weakness, whatever that might be, fill me. But I was at a place in my life where I was, man, how many of you have ever been hurt before? How many of you have ever been just knocked off your feet so bad that you feel like you had to start over again? You all have. I think I'm talking right people, but I literally, like, what I knew is my life ended. And at that moment, I knew that I couldn't let go of God, but I didn't like church. Because it was the church, in a way. Church didn't fail me, but the people that were in the church hurt me. At that moment, I had a choice, and I knew that I could never walk away from God. But as I was continually to say, God, I need you, and I was desperate for God, and I wasn't really hearing from God. Little did I know that my wife, so I'm going to shorten this up real quick, but my wife had a card from a pastor that I knew years ago that I did a youth conference for in Ohio. We did the youth concerts for him, and I just loved the guy. And I got this card, which I really had no contact since that time, really, with him. And I got this card in the mail, and it was for a conference. And I seen it, didn't read it, I pushed it away. Because it was church. I couldn't swallow another conference. Had so many conferences. And my wife kept pushing it in the front of the table. She kept pushing it in the front of the table for me to read it. And I read it, and she goes, you know, we're going to go there. I said, no, we're not. Yeah, we are. We're going to go there. I really feel we need to go there. I said, well, I don't feel that way. But thank God that I listened. Because the name of the conference was For Zion's Sake. I cannot keep silent. That wasn't a coincidence. Because the church is Zion. And I cannot keep quiet for Zion's sake. Because there's a word. That God's got a word in you. That you're part of this body. I cannot keep silent. The enemy wants to silence you. He wants you not to have a voice or to know your voice. He wants to silence you. But for Zion's sake, we cannot keep quiet. So when I went to the conference, I went through the whole thing. I was hearing it. And listen, I want you to get this. That I was at the end of the conference. I'm like, I made it through. because I've been to conferences and I've got prophetic words, and I know it's dangerous to get a prophetic word because there's a sense of accountability that God will speak something into your life. And God spoke a lot of things into my life about some things. And the problem is, you might get a revelation of what God spoke to you through a prophecy. But listen, what we do is you might have the revelation and we let our timing of that revelation get in front of the revelation. Because sometimes it might not be time. Because God's word's faithful. And there was a lot of words that were spoken, and I felt like they were just ended. I felt like it wasn't true, or I felt like they missed it. But here's what happened at the end of that conference. I'm in the back hiding. I was pretty good at hiding. I was just trying to. I didn't want to be accountable for anything. And I'm hiding back there, and I'm like, okay, almost done. And he kept dragging on. And he looked and he says, I can't stop this conference because I feel like God wants to speak to my brother Kaufman in front of all these pastors and this whole church. And I'm like, yeah, what? And she's like, that close. So we went forward. And at that moment, it was the church, the fivefold ministry, that reached down in my weakness to pull me back up again. You see, listen to me. God was determined for me to meet with Him. He designed a moment in time. I was on my way there, not realizing that God created this moment for me to meet with Him. And I said to say this, I was desperate for that moment. But I'm here to tell you, those moments are right here tonight. He hung on the cross so that I can have that moment with Him. That I can enter in with boldness and lay it before Him and say, here it is, Father. I'm not meant to carry it. I'm not meant to carry it. It's His. Stop carrying what's His. Like we've taught before, that God says, give me back what's mine. You've taken the fear that I took from you. You've taken the doubt that I took from you. It's mine. Give it back to me. I took it from you on the cross. So that moment, God restored something, gave us hope in our lives. And this began, this right here, began at that moment. And it'll be, 14 years. 14 years. Thank you, Brother Randy. Hallelujah. And this are moments. I want you to know that God, when you don't think that God's thinking about you, God's got something. I was driving there for 3 hours, and on the whole way there, I'm thinking, I can look back now and think, God's laughing, saying, oh, easy. You don't even know where He's going, what's going to happen. You don't even know. But there's moments that God's looking to meet with you. And there's a lot of things that sometimes Zacchaeus had an opportunity to meet with Jesus. The crowd was there. Intimidation. His shortness. Him being short. Wasn't able to see over the crowd. At that moment, I can decide. Knowing He's there, I got to be there. And He met Jesus there. Say, it's meant to be. Meant to be. All right. Well, let me get into this word tonight. I want to share with you things that these are kingdom principles for home. Now, I want to go fast, not go too fast. I want to try to, if I get through this, I get through this because I want to have this series. I'm glad you're here. And I really think that's so important, especially in a sense if we want to be leaders and being examples in the church. We need to hear it. Say, I need to hear this. I really need to hear this because I need to know, because what happens is if the church doesn't know, have an example. Do you know that there's mysteries that God has given to us in the Word of God? Mysteries aren't meant for us not to find. They're meant for us to seek. And those who seek it, find it. And the finding are those that are kings. They find it. Kings find the secrets. The mysteries that are there. Those that are desperate to get beyond that place and go and grab hold of it. So there's mysteries in the Word of God. And you say, what are mysteries? I want you to get this. Understand that mysteries are hidden sometimes in the natural. Say the natural. There's natural things that God did that we're going to end up seeing that you could see after this. This is the tabernacle. I got to understand. Tell someone this is a picture of the church. It's a picture of me. It's a picture of the church. It's a picture of my family. It's a picture of me. That God, this is the design. Say it's a pattern. It's a pattern for me to replicate. But it's not, I'm not supposed to just build that right there, but there's symbolic. So in the natural, God will do things to get your attention. Where? In the spirit, in the heavenlies. Come on, God does things in the natural. He always does it in the natural so that he can get your attention in the spiritual. God will reveal himself in the natural so that you could get it in the spiritual. What happens is sometimes we get it in the natural and that's where we leave it. But God wants us to take it beyond that. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. We know what that means. The Alpha is beginning. Omega is the end. I want you to know that he is the beginning and he is the end. I want us to get this and understand something. This is powerful for us to get this, to know this, that he is the beginning, he is the end. He is all things to all people. And I just wrote this down as I was on here. A mystery. How many of you ever read a mystery book? Listen, sometimes I get bored in the middle. And I go to the end. But if you don't understand the Alpha, you'll never understand the Omega. If you don't know the beginning, you can never know the ending. So what is in a mystery? Here's what we do. At the end of the mystery, you find out. What do you find out? Who did it? Who did it? At the beginning of it, what they did. So you get an understanding of what God did in the beginning in Genesis, and we can find out who did it at the end. Say Jesus. Come on, I just want you to get that. That was extra. Is that all right? That was extra. So let me just go here. I got these notes here. I want you to check this out. Let's look at Haggai. Haggai. I'm going to try to use my iPad. It's not always that fast. There's just some things that we just got to hear. Come on, amen. And as a pastor, sometimes some of these things might jump over your head. Sometimes they do. Me too. But it's important for us. See this thing. It's important for us to say it anyways, that you can take hold of it. That you need to get the meat. Say, I got to get the meat. I want to get the deeper things. I want to understand the mysteries so that I could take hold of them in my life, apply them into my life. So. This is Haggai in a second. See, this is why. There it is. You all right? You warm? I hope you are, because I'm dying up here. And I wore a sweater. You know. All right, so, and it says, and I'm going to jump through this, and it says, and it came, and it says, it is time. Say, it is time for you who dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lies waste. He's talking about the temple of God. And he says, now therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in tithe. He says, you eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you not filled. He says, you're clothed, and he says, but you're not warm. He says, you earneth wages, and put them in a bag with holes. He says, consider your ways. Say, my ways.
My ways.
He says, for God will go up to the mountain and build a house and take the pleasure of, blah, blah, blah. It goes on. You look as much, and it says in verse 14, it says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. Now, this is important that we get our spirit stirred up. Amen. Now, I want us to get a picture of this, because the beginning church, there's something powerful about them, because they just didn't have one feeling of the Spirit of God. But you can go all through the Word of God, but they weren't just filled, but they were being filled. Come on, amen. There's a continual filling of the Spirit of God that we have to take place in our lives. That it's just not, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit once, but there's a continual overflowing. I need an overflowing of the Spirit. And he says, and they were there and they did this and the whole house was filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. So there's a continual filling of the Holy Spirit that I need. Come on, amen. Because it's dry out there, amen. I need to be filled with the Spirit and continue to being filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. So I want you to catch this. And I want you to take this because every principle given for home can be paralleled to the local church. We're going to talk about home, about our homes. And we got to see this because we're talking about three homes. I'm talking about this home. I'm talking about our home, and I'm talking about this home. Say three homes. See, I got to get this picture of this thing and how that God has this and God's desire and God's plan, because God's got a pattern. God's got a pattern in principles for building that house. Amen. And how it's constructed and how it's established and how it's set, and there's order to it. You know there's an order to every house. Come on, amen. You know what this problem in the world is? Because the family is out of order.
Right. Amen.
You know what's wrong with the church? The church, you know why the world's out of order? Because the church is out of order. The way the world goes, the way our city goes, is the way that the church goes, is the way they go. So I want you to see this. So the number one principle was this, we begin to learn. And I hope this makes sense, but I'm going to take this word for word. He says, the first principle is there was a lamb for every house. Say, there's a lamb for my house. Now we could see that picture in Exodus 12, 1 through 14, if you could look that up. But this is powerful because this was a lamb for the house. We understand that, say, Jesus is the lamb. I got to build these principles because for me to have the house patterned after what God has me to have, there has to be a house, a lamb for every house. Come on, amen. Not just for my house, but for her house too. Amen. But corporately, come on, amen. We need to understand that he's the lamb of the house. Amen. He is the lamb of this house. Amen. So we could see here, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, and he said, they were in Egypt and they're ready to get out. And this was the way that they were getting out. They were going to get out from the lamb. And it says, and the month shall be unto you, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. And you speak to the congregation and saying, in the 10th day of this month, thou shalt take them, every man, a lamb according to the house of their fathers. A lamb for a house. Come on, amen. I got to take that lamb that was sacrificed for my house. There's an individual thing there, and there's a corporate meaning to this understanding. That when that lamb was sacrificed, they would take the blood from the lamb, and they would put it on the house. They would place it on the doorpost of the house. Come on, amen. And it was speaking that in the midst of that, they would be passed over from the death angel. Come on, amen. So that they would be, say, Passover. That's where we get Passover. So the death angel passed over them. Why? Because of nothing that they did, but what he did, the lamb did, to provide life for them. And what it was saying was this. This house, there was a life taken so that they can have life. That's what atonement means. Now, I don't want to get into the whole thing of atonement because sometimes we miss the whole meaning of atonement. Even the children of Israel, they got so caught up in sacrificing lambs, they forgot it's the lamb that gave you life. It was a picture of Jesus. They got into the sacrifice of just killing lambs and not really understanding the mystery that it meant. That blood speaks of life. There was an exchange that took place. God gave his life. So it's different than the sacrifices. See, I want you to get this just for a second. I got to get here. We got time. I could teach this for the next week or two, a couple weeks. But see, listen, they say, why sacrifices? At this time, they were sacrificing animals to God. See, but God went beyond that. He wasn't just asking for you to give the sacrifice. He gave the sacrifice. It was a picture of his life. See, See, because he was a picture to them, because they understood what a sacrifice meant. They were sacrificing to the God. But he went beyond that. Their God didn't just want a sacrifice from them. They wanted the sacrifice. He wanted to give the sacrifice so that his life, the meaning of that, was for you so that you can enter in. So by that blood, they were able to enter into the tabernacle. So listen. So I want to get there. So we could see, we can go through all this. I don't want to deal with all this stuff. So they begin to do this. Do you guys remember that I talked about this a couple weeks ago? That sometimes in the Bible, we get the story, the testimony of God's goodness that was written down. Moses wrote these things down so that we could have a picture, come on, amen, of God's goodness. They would write it down, say, write it down. And not only would they just write it down, but the other way they would get the testimony is by eating the testimony. So by you eating the lamb, come on, amen, it was a reminder. We still do it today. When we take communion, it's a reminder of what? Of this. Of God's goodness, of God's favor. That blood, hallelujah, speaks of the protection that's upon your house. Upon this house. See, that blood needs to be applied personally upon my heart. And then applied upon my home, my family, then upon this house. See, it's a big picture. So that's the number one principle that has to be about a lamb. Do you remember that Moses or John the Baptist was standing there and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who what? Takes away." But you know, listen, we missed this picture. The next day, same guy, same Jesus, shows up and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." But he doesn't say the next part. Do you know why? Once he takes it away, he takes it away. Say, he takes it away. What God does, he does it for real. It's not partially done. It's done. The blood of Jesus Christ is not thin. It's thick. Covers. Come on, amen. You get that? Hallelujah. So we're going to see the principles and the basic understanding of this. All right? Hallelujah. So, and I'm not talking about greasy grace. I'm not talking about that. You all with me? You're mature enough to understand that. No, we're not talking about that. I'm talking about that blood, what he did for us. It works. The problem is we've been in churches sometimes where that every single week the same people get saved every week. And we keep getting people saved over and over again. When they come up, we need to say, "Guys, you're saved. Go sin no more." You're going to get that little bit later. I'm going to teach that. Go sin no more. I've forgiven you. Get your eyes in the heavenlies. Get your eyes off the ground. Go. Sin no more. All right? Come on. He says, so he says, and he's looking for people to hold on to the principles every day, every month, and every year. Come on, amen. He wants people to hold on to the principles that God has given to us to walk in. The principles that God has laid out for us. Psalms 127:4. It says, 127:1. "Except the Lord build the house, you labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, and the watchman worketh but in vain." Amen. It is in vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and eat bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lord, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of his youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. All right. Now, I just want to go for the first part. There's a lot in that. But the first part speaks of that we cannot build this house in vain. Can't build it in vain. And the word vain, It means emptiness. It means falsehood. Come on, amen. It means vanity, that which is worthless. I cannot build it, come on, amen, out of things that are temporary. I have to build it out of that which is eternal. Because the Word of God says that which lasts is eternal. That which is not eternal, hallelujah, will fade away. Come on, say it'll pass away. So I'm building with something that is eternal. I got to take hold of eternal purposes, not my ways, but His ways. I'm going to get lost in my ways. Listen, how do I say that? Remember Timothy? Timothy, he said to Jesus, he says, where are you going? Where are you going? He says, how do I know which way to go? I'm not going to know which way to go. Listen, because he was thinking in his ways. But God was giving him principles to his ways. He that finds me, don't lose me. Amen? So listen. You okay? So that means vain, falsehood, that which is worthless. What are we producing and what are we reproducing? Amen? What are we producing? Are we producing something that is vain? Something that doesn't last? And I want you to see it's so important to what we're producing in our households. Am I sowing into that which is eternal? Or am I sowing into things that aren't? Am I teaching my children? Am I teaching you? Are we teaching one another? Are we teaching those in our household the principles of the kingdom of things that are eternal? Are we teaching them the principles of that are temporary? Like life and happiness is based upon what you have. I teach my children. Am I teaching people how to, my child children, how to wait upon the Lord? Hallelujah. I want to teach those around me how you enter in, how that we come. I hope that I come every time and I come to this place and I'm ready to worship. When we're supposed to teach one another, we teach my children. My daughter watches. She mimics me. I do not exactly like me, but she's going to see how I react. And am I building it in vain or am I building it eternal? Amen. Come on, amen. Where's my investment at? Where's it at? Am I waiting upon the Lord? Am I taking hold of God? Am I spending more time on things that are temporary? Am I taking hold of things that are eternal? His Word's eternal. It's everlasting. You all right? So he says, God's children, he says, if God's children will walk in his principles of his word and mix the word with faith, Hebrews 4:2, mix it with faith and his word, they will be guaranteed divine results. Say guaranteed. We're guaranteed divine results if we mix the word with faith. I can't do it without faith. I can't just say the word and not respond to it. I got to walk it out. Say, I got to walk it out. All right. So he says, so this is the second principle. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. How many of you guys know that we need the glory of the Lord, hallelujah, in our temples? I need the glory of the Lord, hallelujah. And what's the glory? It's the manifest presence of God. Manifested. It's His presence manifested in our midst. What does that mean? It means that you could see that how the expressions on one another, you could see the manifest presence on the anointing of the Word or in worship. There's a manifest presence that's present. That's a lot. That we need that. Say, I need that. I need the glory, the manifest presence in my house. How is it manifested? Through you. Through me. See, God wants to manifest Himself. He wants to manifest me in my house to my family. He wants to manifest Himself through me to you. God wants to manifest you to your brothers and sisters. Amen. You see that we have to have the manifest presence of God. That it be manifested, released out of our lives. Amen. That's the anointing of God. The anointing of God. I want you to see this. He says, and why did the glory of God fill the temple? Come on, amen. Why did the glory of God? Why did it fill the temple? We can take a look in Exodus 25. Verse 40. It's at the bottom. It says, look. That thou make them after the pattern which was shown to thee on the mountain. And I could look up that word, and it says that Hebrew word means that which was caused you to see. That thing that I've caused you to see, that I gave you a revelation on how to build the house. The pattern. Come on. We got to see this because God will do things in the natural so that we could see it in the spiritual. How many of you guys know that God gave the natural picture to Moses, but God gave the spiritual picture to Paul? Amen. Can you look it up for me? Can you look up 1 Corinthians 3:16? See, God wants to reveal Himself individually, and He wants to manifest Himself collectively. We are the dwelling place of God. Know you not that you are what? Know you not you are the what? Know you are the what? You're the temple of God. And God has a pattern for His temple, that His manifest presence would be released in that temple. So there's a pattern. There's a picture. All right? So in verse, am I going too fast? He says that we are a dwelling place of God. Ephesians 2:19-22. Look that up. But I want you to see that God instructed Moses to build him a house, a temple, a place where he could what? Okay, now therefore, you are no more strangers, foreigners, but you are fellow citizens and saints of the household of God. See, listen, God's building Himself a house. And God's just not going to come into any ordinary house, but it's got to be the pattern. I want you to get this. See, just like if I build houses, we build houses, that you just doesn't show up randomly sometime. Do you see, that's what the church has thought, that you just show up randomly and God will just show up if we just do it our way. No, no. Listen, the reason why people can't find Him, because they're doing it their way and not His way. But there's principles. Come on, amen. There's a way that God has us to stand in, and it's through the Word of God, that I got to do it His way. And if I do it His way, I'll always find Him. God will always habitat Himself. He wants to show up and show off. So God will walk us through the details of how He's building the house. When I go into the place, I get a blueprint. Say blueprint. It's a pattern. I just don't willy-nilly this. You know why? Because it's important that I build with a pattern. We all like to move into the house. You like to move into your house. When you got in your house, the pictures, the paint on the wall, we like that. Come on, amen. That looks nice. The pictures, all that stuff. It's not that important. What's important is the bottom part, the foundation. Because if the foundation isn't built right with the principles, everything on top is not going to work. It's not going to come together. Sometimes we're wondering why things don't come together. I got to get the principles and the foundation that God has for my life. I got to go the way that God has for me. I got to stand and abide in what He has given me to walk in through His Word. I can't do it outside that. I've tried. God, come on. If we just shove this in this way, it's not going to work like that, son. You got to get from the beyond and you got to build it up. Do you know what? People don't see the foundation. They want to jump to the top part, but the bottom is important. The beginning, the alpha, is as much important as the omega. Oh, is that good? That's good. I thought that was good. Sometimes I like that. Sometimes I just say amen to myself. Listen, are you all right? So God instructed Moses to build him a house. And you're going to see in here that God goes through all these details, and we're not going to get into it tonight. Come on, we're going to do that after we're done with the series about the tabernacle. I want you to hear this. If you begin to get a picture of the tabernacle, everything in here in the New Testament is going to come out and slap you in the face. Everything in here is going to, if you get the foundation to the pattern, the rest of it will fit like a puzzle. Come on, amen. When I get the pattern, the understanding of this, it's important. And I'm going to give you the reason why. I want you to see this. So God gave us a natural so that He gets our attention. All right? So He says, God instructed Moses to build him a house, a place where he could what? He could walk with them and he could talk with them among his people. Because why? Because of his name. What's his name? His name is Emmanuel. What does it mean? God. See, that's God's desire. He wants to habitate his people. He wants to come to a habitation, a dwelling. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. Come on, amen. He wants to abide with you. He wants to take up space. But he's got to fit to the pattern. Listen, God will always be with me. Listen, I want to make this clear. Sometimes people don't get this picture. So wait, if I don't do exactly what God said, God's going to be with you. But I'll miss out if I don't get the whole foundation, the principles of this whole thing. Amen? This will make sense. You okay? All right. Your home is a sanctuary. Your home is a temple. So let us build our homes according to the word of God. Like I said in Ezekiel 40. And what did he do? He says, look and to make it them according to the pattern that I placed before you. Moses received it by revelation. He received it by revelation. Say revelation. So when God was in his presence, see, God's got to remember, God wants you to be his habitation. He wants you to. That's his desire. So God wants us to fit into that pattern. So God will give us revelation. That's why I say it's important for us to take hold of. Let it be your prayer. Ephesians what? 1 through 17. Come on, amen. That we pray that prayer every day. You don't say, Pastor Chris, you got a lot of revelation. I pray that prayer sometimes 2 or 3 times as my witness a day. So Moses got a revelation. God gave him a picture of this. Come on, guys. This right here. This right here. This isn't just a funky building with a bunch of things on top of it. These are all dead animal skins. And it's not just about dead animals. What's it about? It's about you being a habitation, a picture of you. It's a picture of you. It's a picture of Christ in you. Come on, amen. I want you to get this. And this is desiring for God to habitate, to come and abide in a space prepared that he would walk with you and talk with you. So God gave him a picture. Let me just give you something really quick. You all right? Here's an extra one. This is an extra one. Just really felt this. That remember when Moses stood there and God was giving him this pattern. But before he went in, God gave them by the revelation. This is what God did. Because you know Moses wrote Genesis. Come on, amen. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all the way up to Joshua. He wrote all that. How could he write that? In the beginning was God. He wasn't there. You know how he got it? I want you to hear this. You ready? Say, I'm ready. You remember when God came, he says there was a burning bush and God was standing there. And God, it says that he's seen the hinder parts of God. He didn't see God's butt. God's spirit. He didn't see his bum. He's seen all of his story. He got a revelation. All of a sudden, God was downloading him that which was in the past because he's seen God's past. Then it says, God got to make up your mind because you said he's seen your path. But, and then it says, he talked to Moses face to face. Why? Because God gave him a revelation of what was to come. A picture. You all right? All right, that's just extra. All right, ready? Let's go into this right here. It says, so he received this revelation. And it says, a wise builder builds his house upon a foundation. It's his not his own way. Amen. It's God's way. Say God's way. So let's look at this pattern in Exodus. Now, this can make you fall asleep. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it kind of can. But if you get the picture of it, the revelation of it, you begin to see some of the details. The details that went into this plan, pattern, that God had of his son.
and about how he was going to make a habitation for us. So it starts off by saying, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, on the first day of the month, it goes on, he says, set up a tabernacle. Say tabernacle. He says, and that shall put therein the ark of the testimony and cover the ark with a veil. All right, so let me just start right here. Listen, see, God didn't start out here. I want you to get this. Say it's a pattern. See, God doesn't start, come on, amen, with the outside. God doesn't look at a man, come on, from the outside. Say, thank you, Jesus. God doesn't say, okay, when you get it all together, I want you to come back. See, if God would have started with the outside, it would have spoke to me that, man, maybe I need to get things right. But God starts on the inside. Hallelujah. Say, he starts on the inside. See, God begins, you know what he begins with? He doesn't begin with anything else but himself. This was the ark. It was the manifest presence. Come on, amen. It was an example. It was a manifest presence of his presence that was in the ark. Start with his presence. Start with God. Hallelujah. Listen, it starts with God. Amen. He's the Alpha and Omega. It begins with God and ends with God. You'll see this picture eventually. But here it is. Amen. Then we're going to talk about what's in the ark later. We're going to talk about these things and give these examples. But this is a powerful example. Listen, there's another name for this. It's called the mercy seat. And we're talking about a house, so I'm going to say it a different way. You ready? It's a love seat. Say love seat. Because without his presence, I can't meet with him. Come on. It's the mercy seat. Hallelujah. Listen, so we talk about the veil, and we're going to get into that stuff later on. He says, but covered, he says, and thou shalt bring a table and set it. Then he begins to walk into this place. Come on, amen. He begins to, this is the holy, most holy place. And he's got all these little things in this, really cool. You know, it's got, actually has it has the Ten Commandments in there, the loaves of bread, and the rod of Aaron. We'll get into that when we go later. Not time now. But then you come out here, and then you have the altar of incense. You have the table of showbread, and then you have the candlestick. Say candlestick. I just want to give you a piece real quick. You all right? That candlestick was made out of many things, many pieces. But then they were forged into one. Say one body. One body. All of us come together and make one body. See, that candlestick was a light to the world. You're the light of the world. And in that candlestick was oil. The Holy Spirit speaks to me of the Holy Spirit. And it speaks to me that there needs to be a filling. Who were responsible for filling that? Listen, God fills it, but the priests were responsible to fill it up. God provides it. But we're to take the time to fill up, amen, to be filling up and to not let your fire burn out. Come on, amen. Not let the fire. I'm sad because my heart burns sometimes because I see people coming in and they're not on fire for God. God's provided it and we don't pour it in. He's given us the word. He's given us the fire. He's given us everything. And I need to take it as a priest and pour it into my life. Sometimes we say, well, this is not working for you. I'm not pouring it in then. Because now God never fails me. God's always there for me. He always meets with me. I might not always feel it all the time. There's times where I drive to work and I just wait on God. I'm worshiping God and I get there. I don't feel nothing. But in that moment, hallelujah, all of a sudden one will come to me hurting or broken and I feel the Spirit of God. Why? Because I poured in the oil of God in my life. So God's not speaking to my life. Pour in the oil. It's important. So there's just one principle, just one piece of furniture. The only thing in the most holy place is the ark. It's all about him. Come on, amen. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I know him as Jesus, say Savior. I know Him as Christ, the anointing. And I need to know Him as Lord, my King. You see the progression there? That I know Him as Jesus, Christ, Lord. They're all one. But I need to walk in that. Come on, amen. That's who He is, that we know the ways of God. He says, and Moses received that revelation, started in the holy place. The Hebrew word for build is this. It's Ben. Say Ben.
Ben.
B-E-N. Ben. And the word Ben means son. Let's put it together. God's building a son. It's not coincidence. He says, I want you to build me a son. Pattern son. How many of you guys know that, listen, there is a son that God built, hallelujah, for us to receive. A pattern. His name is Jesus. That I fit into the pattern. That through Him, many sons are born. He's the begotten, hallelujah. And through Him, there'll be many sons. Through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because why? How many of you guys know that? Do you remember how hard it was for the disciples to say, Jesus, no, we don't want you to die. I mean, they came against Him. He says, shush, stop. They did. Peter said, boosh. Some got to go. Oh. Ooh. Don't you say that. Jesus had to rebuke them. Why? Because listen, unless a seed falls into the ground, dies, it's not coming alive again. And through that seed, there's many. It'll just be one seed. Jesus says, I can be here and just bless you. But there's a pattern. Say pattern. See, Jesus didn't go outside the pattern. Say it wouldn't have worked. But He followed because why? Why? He told His Father, Father, whew, Father, Father. He says, if we could, He says, that Lord, He says, if this could pass from me, let it pass from me. But He says, but not my will.
Right.
Not my pattern, but yours. Because my pattern's not eternal. He was just giving a picture for us. He was not going to fall. He was not going to not follow the pattern. He was giving it to us to say, listen, you got to sacrifice your will. Even Jesus gave us an example, a pattern, say pattern, to follow. That I got to have my will die. My emotions, come on. Sometimes I let my emotions, somebody reacts to me, I react with my emotions. I get to react with God's emotion.
Come on, amen.
The way that God would, the pattern son would respond. In the midst of persecution, when they were beating Him, they were throwing things on Him, spitting upon Him. He said, forgive them, Father. Our pattern is upside down compared to His. Love your enemies. Give to those that take from you. Bless those. Hear this, listen. And don't get this wrong. It's not about being abused. Come on, amen. You hear me? There's a thing. We cannot be abused. Amen. Say, I can't be abused. We got to understand the principle that God's not abusive in any ways either. We're not supposed to be taken advantage of. I mean, you're supposed to love your husband, but if he's beating the snot out of you, leave. Or your wife. I don't know. Listen. You don't keep turning the other chick, you know what I'm saying? Because that's not real life. Because, listen, say, follow the pattern. What is the pattern? God says that husbands be like Christ. He died. Love your wives like Christ did. Sacrificed everything. So the pattern is messed up and perverted if I'm not following the pattern. All right, am I making sense?
Yeah.
Trying to get a lot done here. What time is it?
Don't do that to me. So listen. Are you okay?
We're good.
So, you guys are awesome. He revealed this plan in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavens opened and stayed open. Remember this? Do you remember when Jesus showed up? Here's the pattern. Say the pattern. This is heaven's pattern. And it came to earth. Hallelujah. Here's the tabernacle of God walking around. His name is Jesus. We're supposed to follow that pattern. So here's the tabernacle following the pattern. He stands before the Father. He says, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased with." Amen? So, and guess what happened? The heavens opened. Are you ready for this? And they never closed. They never closed. The heavens were always open. Heaven was always coming to earth when Jesus was walking. That's the pattern. God just doesn't want you to go to heaven someday. God did say the beginning. In the beginning, God didn't create us to go to heaven because it's in the picture. Say it's in the picture. In the picture was for God to come to earth. As it is in heaven, let it be done in earth. Do you remember what it was like in the Garden of Eden? Say heaven. So God wants His pattern, hallelujah, to be in the earth. God doesn't have a plan B. God doesn't have a exit strategy in any way. Come on, I want you to see this. Come on, amen. I got to understand the pattern. I got to see the pattern that God, He wants to habitate. For the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. You know what God's heart is? He says that I would feel that my glory, my manifest presence would fill the heavens. That's not the scripture. That it would fill the... Say it again. See, listen, that's why we know the word, we hear the word, we got to hear the word. We got to be hearers of the word. We got to take hold of it. Understand that. See, the enemy wants us just to, you know what, that we get to this place right here, we just get in, and we just wait to fly away. But the pattern, God wants us right here on earth to let it be as in heaven. He wants us to walk it out, hallelujah, that all of a sudden His manifest presence is here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, being released out of your life. Heaven on earth being open heavens. Come on, open heavens being released out of our lives. That's the pattern that God has, that we mature. But we stop sometimes. We wade in the ankle deep water. And God meets us there. But where does God abode? In the most holy place. God abodes. He doesn't leave that place. Come on, I can't get outside that place. I got to stay. Hallelujah. So here it is. This is the pattern God gave us on earth. This is God's heart. So listen, say this is a story. It's a pattern. All through the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, we got to get the picture. It's God wanting to habitate earth, you, His people. Come on, if we really, we miss it, we can't miss that. I don't want to miss that. Because the enemy, what he'll do is he'll just try to keep me here, and I'm just an insecure little boy. Not knowing the authority that I have. I'm just a little child, just playing, coming, and getting everything. So I'm waiting for someone to change my diaper. Waiting for somebody to feed me. But God says, I'm looking for sons. I'm looking for sons that I can release my manifest presence in your life, that you can release it to my other sons and daughters, that they would come to a maturing place. Come on, amen, that we would come. The harvest is white.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said that 2,000 years ago. The problem is the workers, us, we got to mature. Amen. You always there? Nobody. You all good? Come on, you good? This ain't mine. This is the word of God. It says that we must build our homes according to the pattern revealed in the word. If we are to the glory, if we are to
the glory of God, we must first know His ways. We got to know His ways. We are a family. We must all pitch in. So here's a pattern. I'm not just like individually, but actually corporately. Not just corporately this way, but in my home. And in my home, there's a pattern that we all together, say all together, we got to pitch in. If we don't all pitch in, it's out of order. Say, we got to pitch in. All right, one of you. Come on, say, we got to pitch in. And there's an example of this that you pitch in, you come to this place, because if you don't pitch in, you're missing one of these very important keys. Number one is love. Say love. Number two is mutual respect. If my wife says, can you take the garbage out? No. There's no mutual respect there. Pastor asks, hey, could you check that? No. Come on, there's a mutual respect. Say mutual respect for one another, that we have for one another. It has to be. So you got love, you got a mutual respect, and you have open. Say open. Communication. See, that's always a hard one sometimes, because we all like to hold it in sometimes. But for a family, come on, amen, to pitch in, to be part of it, you've got to have open communication. If I cannot confess my faults to my family, we end up becoming like religious Pharisees, that they look the part, but inside their hearts are dirty. I got to be at a place where that I'm able to say, brother, I need you to help me. Come on, amen. I need you to help me. I need you to lift up my arms. I need you to be the strength at this moment in my life. That we're able to confess one another, that I'm really dealing with this, Randy. I need you to pray. And that he doesn't go off and gossip, but he says, man, come on, let's pray right now. We're not going to let this take you. I got your back. Come on, amen. I got your back. That's mighty warriors. That's important for us to understand the principle that I got your back. You might do whatever you can out in the world, but if you mess with my family, I'm coming after you. If you break in my house, touch one of mine, you're in trouble. I will unleash, not heaven. You got it. All right. I don't want to get carnal for a minute, but I'm just making a point. I need to defend. We need to defend the weakers. We need to defend one another. Not drive them in the ground. Bible says those that are weak are wrong you. You got to have discernment to know those that are weak. And if you find them, you go look for them. Look for someone that's hurting. Watch for someone in this house that has their head down. Looks like they're going through something. And you go. You say, brother, hey, I want to encourage you. Every one of us are meant to prophesy. You know what, every one of us. You say, well, I don't have the gift. Yeah, you do. Everybody does. Everybody here. You're to preach. Come on, amen. You have to evangelize. Every one of those gifts we have specific. But there's a deeper calling that we can have in it. But every one of us is called. What are we called here? Can I give you the example of the three things that you're to prophesy people to? To build them up. To stir them up. And to cheer them up. I said to build up. To stir up and to cheer up. We should be in this house prophesying every single time we come in here. Come on, amen. I hope I'm leading by example. Do I build you up? Do I stir you up? Do I cheer you up? Come on, that's what we're to do. Come on, we're to do that. We're to be that example to one another. Build one another up, stir one another up, cheer one another up. And as you edify your brother, you're feeding yourself. All of a sudden, you're building muscle in your life. We don't look to the weak and step on them. Kick them out of the house and reveal their hurts and pains and secrets. Minister grace. Thank you. Amen. Ephesians 4. Listen, I'm almost there. Ready? Play some music so I can start circling around as I come down to land. Give me some landing music, all right? There it is. There it is. There it is. Saints, we want to do. Saints want to do their own thing. Like children in a home, they want to do their own thing.
We want to do our own thing. That's our carnal nature. That's the pattern of the world. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the pattern. Say pattern. Come on, you get this picture? Come on, I want you. There's a pattern, a picture. And it's Jesus. So he tells us, he says, listen, but the problem is, but we have so many immature, but sometimes we have so many almost immaturity in the church that we miss it. And I wrote this down that real love doesn't let us have our own way. It doesn't let us have our own way. This is the way, he says, walk ye in it, Isaiah 30:21. The kingdom principle to govern your house is with love. I don't got time to get into it, but listen to me. Do you want to know what Jesus looks like? 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Gentle. It's long-suffering. All through. Come on, every one of those ones. We begin to declare those things. That's what maturity looks like. That's what the pattern is. Say, it's the pattern. Come on, I'm being real. Come on, sometimes I don't want to go with the pattern. Sometimes I want to be impatient. Sometimes I'm jealous. But I cannot have manifest if I don't build to the pattern. God will not habitate if it's not the pattern. Because why? God's love. He can't do anything outside of who he is. He doesn't do anything outside of himself. I want him to sometimes. Just do it this way, God. It's better. No. I have a pattern, Chris. And the protection is fine in the pattern. Love never fails. Oh, yeah, it does. To the carnal mind, it does. I'm here to tell you, it never fails. Because God never fails. If you got what ifs in your lives, apply God is in your life. If you got what ifs in your life, God is love, God is patient, God is kind, hallelujah. You got a what if? Then you begin to apply the what is. He is this, he is this, he is this. This is who he is. Come on, amen? So listen. So he says this. And he says the kingdom principle, he says, love is connected to truth. We need to be truthful with God, our wives, our children, our pastors, our brothers, our sisters, our children. We need to be truthful. I don't have time to get into the whole thing, but I began to think that, listen, God's house, there's also an example of a natural house. That in that house, which you're here because you have a mother and a father, it takes a male and a female. You know this. I don't have to go through this. Yes, something. So I want you to see the pattern. Say pattern. There's a mother and a father. God made Adam and Eve, male and female. His image was in Adam. His image was in Eve. But God's not male nor female. He's spirit. But God gave us a pattern. Because there's a difference between a mother and father, and I need them both in the house. Come on. And here, I want to help you. Not just in your home, but in here. Say in here. And what that means is, it's the nature of a mother. Come on, there's a difference between a mother and father. Listen, when I made mistakes, there's a difference from my mother's response than my dad's response. Come on. My mom would say, oh, baby, come here. I love you, honey. Listen, that's wrong. You shouldn't have done that to the neighbor. My neighbor was a preacher. He had an amazing garden. Spent all his time gardening. An acre or more. And me and my friends got angry and let our tempers lead us. And we destroyed his garden within an hour. Don't look at me. I'm just confessing to you. I just felt like people were kicking me. What an evil kid. We're throwing throwing tomatoes at each other, cabbage heads, at each other's heads.
And we stopped, we looked, we're like, oh, crap. And I went home and told Mom, Mom, I made a mistake. I did this. Oh, sorry. Then Dad came home. See, it was the difference between my mother and my father. I need to have that love of a mother. The church needs to have a love because there's people out there that need loved. And the church needs to be accepting. Come on, amen. The church needs to be accepting. Come on, amen. But you need a father too. We need to have that fatherly love too. Where the father's a little different because when my dad came home and I told him, he says, you did what? He said, well, here's how we're going to deal this. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to give you a licking. Because I want you to remind you that as my father gave me a licking, it was for me to be empowered later. To remind me there's consequences. Spare the rod, spoil the child. You can have a spoiled child, but you cannot let the child be spoiled. All right. You can give your children what they want, but don't let them be spoiled. All right? So my father said, let's take a walk. That was more punishment than anything else. He said, we're going to go. What are we going for, Dad? Because we're going to meet with him. And you're going to tell him what you did. And you're going to beg him for your forgiveness. All right. I don't want to do that, man. See, my father was doing what Jesus did. He was a mother. The spirit, his spirit, was as a mother and as a father. Because the harlot, the woman that came, she was caught in adultery. And Jesus took her. And he said to her, he says, woman, he says, I forgive you. He says, who condemns you? That's a mom putting her arms around saying, I got you. And then she walked away and he said this, don't sin no more. Go sin no more. Don't do it again. There's a correction. So my dad took me to the neighbors. I sat before him in his house with his whole family there. And he's telling me what I told him, all the things that we did. I'm like, I wasn't the only one. But I had to shut my mouth because I felt my dad's hand in my rib cage. So my father said, so, and while I'm sitting there, my father says this. He says, Reverend G, a forgiveness is not enough. That's pretty good, I think. Nope. Because you can say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But true repentance, he's looking for. And my father says, here's your repentance. You know what it is? You will, from April to October, help this man rebuild his garden. I don't get it. Listen, 30 minutes, 6 months, doesn't match up. But I learned a valuable lesson. I learned to love my neighbor. I learned in this relationship with him as we were planting the seeds and doing all this, I learned something because my father made me be accountable. Listen, we need to be in a church where they're held accountable. You need to be in a church where you're sitting there. Hallelujah. And listen, if a pastor comes and says, listen, you need to do this, you need to do this, there's an accountability because God, guess what? He loves you. He loves you. If we go into church and there's no accountability and there's no responsibility and you can do what you want whenever you want, it's dangerous. I got to grow up. Come on, amen. I got to be at a place of responsibility. I got to be that. I hold myself at a place of responsibility to my apostle, to Bishop. That's my wife. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to come up and preach in March. Oh, I do that all the time. But I'm just, you know, because why? He wants to hear what I'm saying. He hear it at a time, but he's hearing me face to face. He wants to know. He wants to be at that place of accountability. I'm accountable to him. Hear what I'm saying. What are you saying? What are you preaching? So listen, this is important. Say it's a pattern. Stand to your feet. Say it's a pattern. It's a picture. It's a picture. We got to learn God's ways. Come on, the children, they knew God's acts. But Moses knew God's ways. I need to know God's ways to let this pattern cause me to rise up to get to every one of us. Every single one. I hear this, guys. I hear this. I believe that God's putting us in a position. We talked to my brother today. that Dios is 22 and there's two numbers side by side, the same numbers. I feel that there's people that listen to me, that God's desiring us to see it His way, to walk in His ways. That you walk in His ways, out of that comes testimony. Say testimony. Some testimony. It means stories that you have with God, that God reveals. Hallelujah. God wants to reveal His goodness through you. God wants you to brag about His goodness. God wants out of your life the blessing and prosperous. God wants you to release that in other people's lives. He wants to do it in your lives. But there's another side to the story. And it doesn't go the same way. I want to go God's way. I want to walk in His ways. I want to learn His ways. Just like you, I'm a student. I'm hungry. I'm searching. I don't know everything. Listen, I want you to know it's like looking into the sun sometimes. One of the forefathers, the beginning of the church in 180 A.D., was a bishop, and he said this. He says, taking hold of God is like looking at the sun. The longer you look at it, you become blind. Listen, I thought it was powerful. The more that you look at God, the more you think you know, the more bigger you know that He is. He's bigger. Say He's bigger. He's bigger. He's bigger. There's so much to attain. There's so much to take in. And God wants to walk you through it. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these men and women of God. I thank You, hallelujah, I thank You, God, Lord, that You're working within us as a people, individually and corporately. And God, I ask the God, Lord, that if You don't build the house, we build it in vain. So, Father God, I pray that each one of our hearts are at a place where that we say yes to You and all that You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, amen. Don't forget, come here Wednesday, Saturday night. Build up, stir up, cheer up somebody. Amen.